Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, good late afternoon for some people. It depends on your region that you're in. God bless you and bless everyone that is in the chat room that's going to pick up the broadcast and the archives. We truly send blessings into your home. I send blessings into your mind. I send blessings over your spirit. The light of the Lord, and may it go inside of you and generate some positive energy, some positive attitudes in your life, that you may not just stop right with you, but you may pass it on to those that you meet and those that you're teaching to or preaching to throughout the rest of the day and the weekend. We just praise the name of the Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace, and it endures forever and evermore. And you're just a wonderful God. You're a powerful God, and I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you to each and every one that is here tonight, and we are so excited to be in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I'm excited tonight, I said, to be in the land of the living. We're talking about the light of the world. You and I are called to spread the light throughout the world. So let's go back and talk about that light. What is that light? Where is my light? What is my duty as carrying the light of the world? So we thank you, Lord Jesus. And now may we just be priests, and we invite you, Heavenly Father, to come and increase and sit and speak with each and every one of us, dear Father. Show us the light and what we're to do and what we're called to do with your light, as we're your lantern representing your light. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the church said, amen. Amen. You are the church. Amen. You are the church. It's in your heart. So amen, amen. So we're going to turn to John. This is Big John, and we're going to start with chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 is where we're going to start our reading from tonight, and then we're going to get into it, and let's talk about the light of the world. Are you spreading your light throughout the world? Would be our thought. The Word became flesh. I get excited when I get in the presence of the Lord. I get excited speaking His Word. So I invite you to just get comfortable and get excited. Let's get excited. Those are just words right there. It's just excitement just to hear that the Word became flesh. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's a mouthful. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. You know, evolutionists and even theologians have tried and to figure out how everything began, and everyone has their myths and their what they can't prove theories, because nothing that they dig up out of books or conversate between each other can compare to the truth. And the Word gives us the truth in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word is God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was light, L-I-F-E, and that light was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of men. The light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Amen. Don't be surprised when someone doesn't understand you speaking light into their dark situation, and they say, you just don't understand. And in actuality, they don't understand why you're coming along with the light, even though you're trying to spread the good news. Even though you're doing it not in a condemnation form, but even trying to reveal to them that there is a way out of the darkness. There is a road that is illuminated
for our pathway to walk into righteousness, that we do not have to continue to fall into every pit of temptation. But don't be misunderstood. Don't think that the word changes just because someone may not understand your purpose that you're trying to share with them, the light, the direction, the way to the light, the true source of life. As it tells us here in verse 5, the light shineth in the darkness. God's word is going to shine regardless of where you're at. God's word stays the same. It's still shining in the dark. Of all the corruption that's going on, it's still shining in the dark. Hallelujah. But the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not understood it. You know, the book of Malachi contains the last prophecies of God recorded in the Old Testament. The intertestament period, as the next 4 centuries are known, was devoid of messages from God to his people. The Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist, broke the 400-year silence when he prophesied in Luke 1:78-79, and his prophecy was that the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadows of death. That's a lot of words there. It said what? It said the sunrise from on high will visit us. And the purpose of the visit, it says, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadows of death. Now, they may have been sitting in darkness forever, may have been sitting in darkness while people are praising them on high, sitting in darkness for doing all kind of wrong. But it says that the sun is going to shine upon those who are sitting in those dark places, and the shadows of death. Amen? Amen. In another version, it says, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the path of peace. Now, who is Zechariah speaking of? Zechariah was announcing the birth of Jesus Christ into a spiritually dark world. Now, here's another person. Here's the way Paul describes the condition of mankind when they are living without Christ. He says in Romans 1:21, he says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, because they became futile in their speculations and their foolishness heart was darkened. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Let's look at another version. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were hard. We're living with a lot of foolish hearts right now, a lot of hardened hearts, but are claiming to know God, but are claiming to have been in the presence of God, and yet you still been worshiping all kind of different idols. You know, the state of believers today is the same as it's always been. Darkness plagues the earth today, people, because people still live with a sense of frustration. That's why darkness is still plaguing the earth. People have a sense of frustration. They get frustrated when they can't get things just right here, right now. They want to see things. They want to instant blessings. They want instant healing. They don't want to walk anything out. They want an instant family. They want instant love. How many times have you saw someone go to the altar because they was wanting a wedding? They wanted to be loved for that day. Yeah, they wanted the world to look and pay attention to them on that special day. They wanted to hear, I love you. I vow to be with you. They wanted the attention of that day. They wanted to do it because they're tired of being the bridesmaid, wanted to be the bride. They may want to do it because they are just feel like it is my time. My clock is ticking and everybody's saying it's the thing to do, so it's my thing. And once they get married and they turn around a week later and figure out that this wedding, really, they're looking for me to be a marriage. They wanted me to change my ways. You know, some things that you do in a marriage that you couldn't do in single life. And, you know, people are looking for that wedding, and they spend all of their riches and time and joys all put into that day, but not into the future of a marriage. See, there's a difference. There's a big difference. But people are looking for instant gratification. You look good that day, didn't you? I felt good to you that day. But now you roll up every day and every night, you're looking at that same person and saying, what's going on here? It doesn't feel so good now. Yeah, but all the joy that you had that day, you can't even feel it anymore now, right? So the state of the unbelievers is that it's been plagued by the darkness because of the frustration that is going on in the hardening of our hearts that we are allowing ourselves to feel, all because in an attempt to please and satisfy our flesh. Satisfying the flesh. You know, as we attempt to please our fleshly appetite, there's never satisfaction. You're never going to be satisfied trying to please the flesh. Amen? You know, you start out and you said, well, you know, Hennessy is my drink. And before you know it, you drink Hennessy, you drink gin, you drink vodka, you drink whatever it is, trying to search for that high. You can never satisfy the flesh. You start out with sleeping with one man, fornicating here. Before you know it, you've got a long list of notches in your bedpost, and you're still not satisfied. You still can't find what you're looking for, and you're wondering, why, oh, why am I still in this? You started out and living one drug was your preferred drug, and at the end of this road, what Satan didn't show you at the beginning is that you're going to be hooked, and you're laying in some alley, and you'll take anything that you can, even as I heard, even putting bleach and trying to put that in your veins, anything, but he doesn't show you the ending at the beginning. So trying to satisfy the flesh, my sisters and brothers, is never going to get you to a point of satisfaction. So the light of Jesus Christ is what we're speaking about tonight. Are you shining your light unto the world? The light of Jesus Christ was our scripture for today, and it tells us he is the word, he is the light that gives life. The light of Jesus Christ lets people see themselves as they really are. The light of Jesus Christ allows us to see ourselves as we really are, individually. What are we, you may say? We are sinners in need of a Savior. Yeah, we're sinners in need of a Savior. You see, when his hope is allowed to penetrate our hardened heart, that's when that darkness will start to be chased away. Only when we allow his hope to penetrate our hardened heart. Receiving him as our Savior, since we are sinners in need of a Savior, that means that sins are forgiven when we receive him as our Savior. That means that the death sentence has been lifted up off of our life when we receive him, the light of this world, as our Savior. The sun's light has a second purpose for belief. You see, Jesus illuminates the right path for our life so that we need not to give in to temptation. He has illuminated it. He's here. He's flashing. Here it is. I left my word for you. I gave you my basic instructions. He has illuminated the right path for our life so that we need not fall into temptation generation after generation over and over and over again. But whoever chooses to walk in the light by obeying God's commandments and seeking to live by his principles can. I invite you to turn to Ephesians 5. We're going to start at verse 8. If you're in Romans, let's go ahead and go to the right. And let's go down and stop right on Ephesians Drive. And we're going to do Ephesians as we're in verse chapter 5, starting at verse 8, reading through 14. And we're speaking about, again, whoever chooses to walk in the light, obeying God's commands, and seeking to live by his principles, cannot walk in darkness. You don't feel it right when you're over there. You have to jump back. Something ain't right. You have to go to your knees and repent and confess what you're saying. But you know that's not where your spirit is. Hallelujah. So it says, Ephesians 5, 8 says, for you were once darkness. What do we say? We say that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Your light was in the Lord. That's your source of light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. You hear that? For the fruit of the light consists in all righteousness. The fruit of the light consists in all truth. And then it goes on to tell us to find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. What pleases the Lord before you decide to jump up and go tell that sister a piece of your mind of what you think? What pleases the Lord? Because you were once in darkness. But oh, now, you as a believer, you as a Christian, you as a child of God, you are light in the world. So you need to live as children of light. For the fruit of the light, you are fruit from the light. That consists in all goodness, all righteousness, all truth. And we need to find out what pleases the Lord. And then it says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. But rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do and think. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Everything exposed by the light is invisible. For it is light that makes everything visible. Who is that light? It said Jesus is the light of the world. Zechariah announced the coming of Jesus Christ, that he would come, sunrise from on high will visit us, and shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. He's still shining that light. He's still shining that light. Many times that I know that we feel like that corporations are, and this day and time, are all about the head, all the ones at the bottom doing the hard work. If you get up too high, they try to lay you off, bring in some more, paying them less. And I get calls over and over again where people are in situations. But God is shining his light. He's shining his light in those areas. And all those that sit high that is doing wrong will be at the bottom. It will flip that thing over. It's so much confusion and chaos that people think they're getting away with doing dark. You know, but Jesus said in John 8 and 12, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world, he said. He also speaks about us, the followers, the believers. In Matthew 5, 14, he also tells us, didn't he? He says, you are the light of the world. You, believer, you, ma'am, you're the light of the world, sir. You see, both of these statements, John 8, 12, Matthew 5:14, they're both a true statement because Christians, we act as lanterns for Christ. While ourselves, we ourselves are not the light, we are holders of light. We are holders of light. We are the lanterns of the light of Jesus Christ. The people who are stumbling in the darkness, they caught up, they're lost, they're deceived. They're stumbling in the darkness of sin. They're stumbling in the darkness of despair. They can look at believers and see hope. They should be able to look at your lantern in the midst of all of their darkness and say, I see a beacon of light. I see a beacon of hope. I see a beacon of joy. Because our lights are being lit by God's light. So when they see the lantern, we can lead them to the true light. Amen? Amen. It's the hope that they see in our lantern that moves them and compels them to want to remove out of their despair. From within us blows the truth of Jesus Christ. When they're seeing that lantern, they see that hope, they see that joy, it's because they're seeing the glow of the truth of Jesus Christ. They're seeing the glow of the love of Jesus Christ for them. The message of salvation through forgiveness of our sins comes from that glow, from that lantern that we're displaying. See, we allow him to shine forth not only when we speak about biblical truth, but also when we model his ways. We start to model his ways. A righteous behavior gets attention, my friend. Righteous behavior gets attention because it's so different from the selfish, unsatisfied lifestyle typical that you see of this world. It's different. People should be saying, there's something a little different about you. You're peculiar. I can't put my finger on it, but you always got peace about you. You got joy about you. It's something different about you. The righteous way. Many who see our light will want Jesus for themselves. What must I do to get that joy? What must I do to get that love? See, reflecting him to the world is the believer's God-given job. As a believer, you have a God-given job, and that is to reflect your lantern to the Jesus Christ to the world. So we must keep our flame bright. You know, it means protecting our relationship with God. That's how we keep our flame bright. We got to protect our relationship with God. How do you do that, you may ask? By spending time in prayer, spending time reading his word. Because otherwise, we'll make unwise decisions. You know, our fever for the Lord will begin to lessen. And our desire for the Lord will begin to lessen. Before we know it, that we're unbelievers, we're standing there with the unbelievers, and we're on that slippery slope ourselves. Unbelievers won't be able to see contentment. They won't be able to see the joy in us if we don't keep our lantern blazing. If we don't keep our relationship with God strengthened, strong, growing. We must also keep our lantern spotless by resisting temptation. By resisting temptation. You see, sin soils the believer's testimony. So if you're wanting to keep your lantern polished by resisting temptation, again, you've got to be in prayer with God. You've got to be reading the word of God. You've got to be hearing from God. However, we do sin. We do sin. And when we do sin, our slate is wiped clean through confession and repentance. You know, it's an honor, a great honor to reflect Jesus to the world. It's a great honor to reflect Jesus to the world. Don't allow your negligence or your wrongdoing to dim your flame. Everyone in your sphere of influence needs your lantern to be guiding them now, guiding her towards the true light of the world. You are the lantern that is leading them to the light of the world. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. I'm here in San Antonio, Texas. You can reach out to me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Any prayer requests, praise reports, walk with me, God, or anytime join me here on the broadcast. Any archives, make sure you rate the show. Download the show. Go back and let others know. You can get it in archives. All right, let's continue, shall we? You should be honored. I'm honored to reflect Jesus to the world. I don't allow anything to get in that place of my relationship. I can't let anything separate me from the love of God. That's even the ones that I love. That's even the ones that say they love me. If the word does not line up with God's word, then it's not the true word. I can't stand by it. I can't stand by anything that does not match up with God's word. It doesn't mean that you can't pray for others, that you can't be in prayer with them. Because when we look back, it says, and we was looking at Ephesians, and 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. You expose them by being in prayer for those individuals. That means that you can't go stand on the corner with the prostitute, jump in the car and go watch the act as it's done and say that, oh, I'm just here to praying for her or him as they're doing the sin, as they're in the sin. Because you will find yourself, before you know it, you're taking a few bucks yourself. You're doing a few little tricks on your own now. It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. But you can get their prayer request. You can pray with them. You don't have to jump in their sin to be praying for them to come out of their sin. See, you're holding the light. And I mean, it's not a spotlight that you're shining down for condemnation, that you're condemning them for all the evilness that they're doing in their life. Because we have to remember that we fall too. We fall too. If it is flesh, these bones are wrapped around. And how do we survive? We survive by when we get back up, as God picks us back up, we confess our sins. We repent of our sins with a true heart, to go and sin no more in those areas. Amen? We don't keep on jumping back into that same situation, getting up and saying that we are confessing our sins, because when we repent, we're repenting because we see the wrongness. We see the separation that sin is pulling us away from our Father. So we repent because we want to be better. We want to be closer. We want to do different. We want to live a holy life. We want to live a godly life. Amen? We want to hear God say, amen, good and faithful servant. We want the ones that are lost in despair, that are lost in darkness. We want them to be able to see our lanterns as a beacon of hope, a beacon of light, a beacon of joy that will lead them to the true light of the world. Amen? The true light of the world. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we get so upset about the things that is going on in our lives, and we forget about that where we're at today, we should be stronger tomorrow, and by next year, we should still be able to drop some habits that we had this year. So we can't get all caught up and condemn and whip all of the ones that are still lost in dark. You go into the dark and just turn off. It's a show, I can't remember the name, it's a game show, and it was, they turn off all the lights, and it is literally pitch black in there. And you got to try to find your way through different things, through different places, to different obstacles, to the exit or whatever it may be. It's pitch darkness. And the contestants, one after one after one, all say the same thing. You can't see anything. You see, we close our eyes now, and if you move your hands in front of your eyes, you still may be able to see a reflection even with your eyes closed. You can see some movement. You can tell something's in front of you. You can see a shadow of light. You can see something. But when you're in total darkness, you're just fiddling and fumbling around and you're confused, and the voices that you hear. See, on the show that I was speaking about, the voices were giving them correct direction. Turn to the left. Go to the right, my friend. Here, look for this object. See, can you identify what this is? In real life, as we're in the dark, when we're in our pit of hell, that we have made choices to get in, that the enemy has lied to us of what it was going to look like once we got in there. It looked pretty nice on the surface. You said, oh, I could swim, I can get out of there. Well, he didn't tell you that it was a bottomless pit. But you can't come up by yourself. Hallelujah. So when you're in that kind of dark, when you're in that kind of pain, that's when suicidal thoughts come in your mind. That's when you say, why me? How am I? How will it ever get any better for me? That's when your friends look at you and say, wow, you might just, you know, what else are you going to do? There's no way out of here. That's when they look at you and say, you know what, what do you want me to put on your epitaph? It's over for you. That's when you need a beacon of hope. And it's no need of us as Christians going to them, condemning them about, I told you if you had to listen to me, you wouldn't be in this mess. Now all we can do is pray. But that's not enough. That's all you need is prayer. That's all you need is reading and studying the Word of God. That's all you need is God. He is the light of the world. I hear so many Christians living that life. Well, I don't know what else we can do now but just pray. I don't know if it'll work or not. All I can do is pray for you. That's the best thing. If you pray with a sincere heart, and if your relationship is connected to the light, that's all you need. That's all you need. You know, it's just like when you go to the altar and you have the groom have a candle, the bride will have a candle, and it's usually a unity candle already lit. The source of the light is right there in the midst. So the groom and the bride both take their non-lit candle and they put it, touch it to the light of a unity candle that is already lit. And from that light source, they now receive light. We are the lanterns. And for our lanterns to stay bright, blazing, on fire with hope, joy, peace, understanding, hope, we got to make sure that we're getting our light refueled. We can't let them go down. They can't go out. But without the unity candle, without the Christ that is the head, is the life source, we will go down. And so many Christians, we start out and our lights are blazing and it's on fire and we're ready. We do it in our marriages. We do it in our churches. We do it in our families. We're excited to be parents. Before you know it, that light is starting to go down. Before you know it, you're abusing that child mentally, physically, emotionally. Before you know it, your wife does, you can't even pay any attention to her anymore. Before you know it, all your husband, I don't even cook for him anymore. He better go for himself. Before you know it, all kind of different things are separating and dividing and cutting you apart and cutting you loose and tearing you down. Going down. Your light is going down. You have you need to revisit the source, Jesus Christ. You need to strengthen that relationship. Build up on. Draw from his strength. Draw his power. Draw his love. Draw his hope. Draw his protection. Draw his comfort. It broadens your light source. You're able to go out into the world and let your light so shine that the world may see hope in your lantern, that the world may see guidance through your lantern, that the love of your life, of your God, may show and spill over. Your cup runneth over on all that surrounds you. It's a great honor to reflect Jesus to the world. And as you go through the week, I remind you, God is going to sins to be forgiven. And their lights may be out. Some of them may have never even accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Their lights may be dim. So don't allow any negligence of the things that they may say, because the darkness don't understand the light. Don't allow any wrongdoing for the things that they may have done in the past. Again, the darkness does not understand the light. They don't understand that that's where the peace is at. They don't understand that that's where the hope is at. Someone in your sphere of influence, they need your letter to guide them, to guide her towards the true light of the world. They're depending on you. It's you that's going to be the one that leads them to the Lord. For you're not the light, you are the lantern, and your life source comes from the main light. You are a child of God. He says that he has given you the authority to call them as though they are, even though that they may not see it exactly right there like you want it to be, or you envision it to be. Go ahead and call it that it is that. Right now it may not be. But I call it blessed. Right now, I call it favored. I say I'm favored. Even though it may not even show me in the lifestyle that I'm living, my circumstances may not show me as favored. The world may not look at me and say that I'm favored. Go ahead and call yourself favored. Wake up, old sleepers. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine in you. Amen. 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 We don't want to leave without giving you the opportunity to just come to know the God of all God, the God that is God in every day, every manner, whatever you're doing, he's still God. The God that can heal you, set you free, deliver you. Yeah, that God. That God. If you don't know God as your Lord and Savior, I just invite you to come and repeat the words I say. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross and gave his blood for me. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to turn from my sins. You said in your holy words, Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, that we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. And with my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. So this very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now, I am saved. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sin. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone. Amen. 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 If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, we believe that you just got saved and are born again. You may ask, now that I'm saved, what's next? First of all, you need to get into a Bible-based church and study God's Word. Once you've found a church home, you will want to become water baptized. See, by accepting Christ, you are baptized in the Spirit. But it's through water baptism that you show your obedience to the Lord. Water baptism is just a symbol of your salvation from the dead. You were dead, but now you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has redeemed you for a price. And that price is his death on the cross. So may God bless you. I love you. Again, this is Minister Vaughn Dumas, San Antonio, Texas. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I'll be more than happy to get any biblical literature sent out to you to help you on your way. We pray for our country. I love you, but God loves you more. We'll see you next time. Rate the show. Bye-bye.